Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. We got an exciting action-packed show tonight. We are going to be joined by the legend, the YouTube legend, Chris Justice from Cards Infinity. He's going to be on the show in about 15-30 minutes, so we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about with him, like how he got started, some of his favorite products, so that should be extremely exciting. We got some reviews on some products that came out, like Series 1. We weren't live last week, so we're going to talk a little Series 1, some Topps Magic, and, you know, whatever the conversation may bring, we'll get into it. So, man, Super Bowl, huh? Seahawks champions, first time ever. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Well, since I've been a diehard Seahawks fan since noon on Sunday, I'm pretty happy about it. Pretty happy.
Nice.
Obviously, I don't have to tell you guys, it was a pretty bad game. Seahawks just dominated every aspect of the game. Probably hurts for Niner fans. Niner fans would probably be like, wow, if we were playing the Broncos, probably would be the champions right now.
So that wasn't the closest game you've ever watched? Is that what you're trying to say? It wasn't the closest football game you've ever watched?
It was a nail biter. I was edge of my seat the whole game. Actually, I was on the edge of my seat because I was like, "Are the Broncos going to score?" That was at one point. I'm like, "That's the only thing I'm looking forward to. Are the Broncos going to get a score, or are they going to be shut out?"
You know who the real winner was in this that I heard today? Vegas. They
shoot came up.
I heard there was like 70% of the action was on the Broncos to win. So, whew. I heard like some casino made like $20 or $30 million on bets on the Broncos. So, you know, when you got a veteran quarterback and you got a number one offense, better tend to swing that way. So, what did you think of the Super Bowl, Ryan?
Well, I thought it was interesting. Seattle maybe was. I mean, I heard early preseason picks that they were going to win, so I guess nobody should be really that surprised. I guess the blowout. You always want to see a close. Really care either way. I have Niner tickets next year, so I'm more into making a big profit on those games next year with the Seahawks. So it worked out great for me, I think.
Yeah, definitely, and we're hopefully going to be soon to be season ticket owners tomorrow as well. I mean, one thing as it relates to the card market, I think the only one that really benefited from this game was Russell Wilson's rookie cards. I mean, now you got a second-year quarterback that's now, won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, we've seen a spike in his cards, and, the sky's possibly the limits on some of these cards. I mean, imagine buying in early last year when he was, the third round. When did he get drafted? Was he a third or a fourth round, if I remember correctly?
Third. Fourth rounder.
Fourth rounder, yeah. So when he came out like finest and stuff like that, his autos were like $15-$20. Now, now that same card is $300-$400. If it gets a good grade, it's even more. So, Russell Wilson was one of those guys you could have speculated and prospect on last year, and look where you're at this year. He's not your everyday Peyton Manning, Tom Brady's type of quarterback, but he gets the job done. He's kind of part hybrid, but also makes the plays when it counts. It's hard for me to say as a Niner fan seeing that, but, that defense also helped him out, but, sky's the limit on Russell Wilson. And it's good stuff for the card market for what happened, being that Peyton Manning rookie cards, you can't open a box. It's just unobtainable to get a 1998 box of anything for a good price and open it up and try to get a Peyton Manning rookie. Russell Wilson, you can get like a playbook box for $160 or, contenders for $200 and, have a chance at pulling Russell Wilson. So it's kind of cool. People are dipping back in on some of that 2012 stuff, which is always exciting. So and Sherman, yeah. I mean, for that matter, and Sherman, you know, I mean, he's going nuts as well. Did you hear that? Speaking of Russell Wilson, did you hear he's actually going to report to Rangers training camp to the
spring training?
Yeah.
Nice. Two-star athlete.
Yep.
Starting second baseman.
Could be, man. I mean, I don't know if it's a publicity kind of thing. Like, he's going to just show up and be like, hey, guys, it's Russell Wilson, and, you know, go ahead and play, and he's just going to leave. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen, but he's definitely going to report to spring training. It'd be interesting to see what the Seahawks think of that. I mean, what do you think as a, you know, your franchise quarterback just won a Super Bowl? Are you okay with him playing another sport in the offseason?
I mean, I'd be surprised
if he suits up. I heard today that it was more of a mentorship kind of thing. He was going to come down, and being that it's widely kind of respected that Wilson has good character and, you know, generally seen as a good guy, I think it's more to just mentor some of the younger maybe players that they have, Pro Far, maybe somebody like Michael Choice or something, just to kind of say, hey, I'm a young guy. I mean, he's young too, so it's, hey, I'm a young guy. I played baseball. So he can kind of come at them from that perspective that, hey, I've played baseball. I know what you're going through. Here's what I've done to, you know, ultimately win a Super Bowl. And like you said, be a third, fourth round draft pick and then, you know, really have played well since the jump street of his career. So I would be shocked if he hits the field. I mean, I would be stunned if he maybe a couple ground balls during infield practice or something, but if he saw any kind of live action, I would be pretty stunned. And if I was the Seahawks, I'd be on the first flight down there reminding him who pays his paycheck. So that's the first thing I would remind him, who signs his check and who might have to cut a huge check to him pretty soon.
Yeah.
If he goes out there, I mean, don't the Rangers have to pay him? I mean, he'd have to be signed to some kind of minor league contract of some sort. I know they picked up his Rule 5 draft option, and I think they had to pay for that, but I don't know if they actually signed him to a contract.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Topps does because he's in Bowman. He's going to be in Bowman. At least as far as we know right now, he's going to have a base card in 2014 Bowman. Now, there'll probably be, you know, different color variations and stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see what those go for and if they decide to put autos in there because obviously they probably have some stickers left from football that they could, you know, maybe make a number to five version of that card, put it in Bowman. Now, I mean, would you think that card would sell more than a rookie football card, being it's going to be a little bit more rare? What do you guys think?
Oh.
I guess you guys don't think anything.
It would depend how rare, how I guess how SP is this Bowman baseball card going to be. If there's only 25 of them, then, yeah, it's going to sell for probably quite a bit. I don't think it's going to outsell. I haven't checked the prices, but I'm sure his autographed rookies from 2012 are probably pretty hot. I think that's doesn't take a genius to make that statement. So it depend on how limited it is, which apparently it's going to be somewhat limited. So I would think $100 or something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a concern with that though. So what he has are NFLPA stickers that were licensed from the NFL. I don't know how the NFL is going to feel about taking those stickers, slapping them on a baseball card.
I don't know. I think they work out the deal with the individual athlete. I mean, I think they have to work out with the NFLPA to, and I could be wrong, this is just me coming off the top of the dome here, but I think they have to work out an agreement to get his picture and being able to put his jersey and him in the card, you know, in the set for football. But when it comes to the autograph, I think they're all individual deals worked out with the guys. So, I mean, it may just be that they paid a single price, they got X amount of stickers, and they still have some left over. They can do whatever they want with them. They could put in a freaking golf set if they wanted to or something, if they ever made a golf set. But I don't know what the logistics are on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting if the licensing got involved and were like, well, you know, you bought those under the exception that you were going to put in only on football cards, and now you're putting it on baseball cards trying to sell your baseball products with a guy that we brought to you from the NFLPA. So,
well, you know, you know what you could do? You could just call the customer service line and wait on hold and see if they answer it for you.
Tops?
Yeah.
You should three-way it right now, or four-way it. We can all sit on hold together.
Well, it's a two-hour show. I don't think we're going to have enough time to wait on hold for them. But if we had a four-hour show, we may get through. Actually, well, it's 4 o'clock on the West Coast. They probably closed down shop there over at 3 o'clock, so their time. So maybe we got to call in the morning or something. And that would have been a perfect time to play that little customer service drop that we did a while back. But I'm not going to play that one again. But yeah. Yeah, I hear all those stories. I've actually never been on hold at Top, so maybe I shouldn't complain, but I go on the forums and I just see, 4 hours, whoop-de-whoop. It's like, I swear to God, they have like one person that's not only taking the calls, but maybe like shipping stuff out. So I think they put people on hold and they go ship some stuff out first for like 2 hours. Then they come back and answer a few calls or something. So I don't know. But they need to get that redemption process and that customer service line worked out a little bit. Maybe they need to outsource it. Just saying.
Maybe. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying, But, also, two-sport athlete came out today. Tracy McGrady is going to try to play baseball. T-Mac.
She's focused on basketball.
I think he tried.
Is he still playing basketball?
I think in another country, or at least he was playing. Well, he was on the finals team last year. But, he's only, believe it or not, I thought Tracy McGrady was like 40. He's only 34.
Well, I think he was drafted when he was like 12, right?
Yeah, I think it's like, I think it was 11.
Drafted out of middle school?
Yeah, I think so. He was a stud, man. Back in Magic days, that guy was a stud, man. I don't know what happened to that guy. I mean, Ryan probably knows a little bit better what happened to Tracy McGrady. I don't know what happened to him.
He got hurt.
The Raptor days.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
Knee problems, back problems, things like that. Incredibly talented. Had a couple of good years, but he just doesn't have the – he's very talented, but you can't put his will to win or drive or want in the same degree as you can Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. And you can't really put too many people in those guys' category. So you look at the teams he was on. They weren't – he played with Yao Ming for a while when Ming was good, so – good player, but he just got hurt. And then last year he was on the end of the San Antonio bench trying to win a ring. So
right.
He's still, I don't know, he maybe played in two games or something. I don't know. So he just, kind of like, not in a similar way to Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill, just suffered some injuries there, maybe not quite as severe as those guys, but just suffered a few injuries that just kind of derailed him a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that's unfortunate. Kind of like what happened with, Ken Griffey. Obviously, Ken Griffey had a storied career, but there was that 5 or 6 year period where, he could have broke some records, but he was, plagued by injuries. But I did want to talk about real quick before we bring Chris Justice on here. I've been talking to a few customers in the chat about eBay and, like, vintage stuff or not so hot stuff, like meaning it's not a product that just came out or it's not like a Peyton Manning right now or a Russell Wilson right now. Like, for example, we did those 1933s, those Hall of Fame historic autographs, 1933s, where it's an original Gaudi and it's a cut auto attached to it, right? And there's Hall of Famers, big names in there, and the print run's pretty small. Well, some of our customers are, putting these up on eBay as auctions and running them for like 6 or 7 days. And, a lot of them are selling for like $30, $40, which is probably a lot less than they should because they rent it as an auction. So, I don't know if you guys do this. I know if you need the money right away, then obviously you run the auction. But like a card that's not being searched heavily, I think the strategy, just put it up and buy it now, take some offers. Because nobody's going to search for, an Eddie Collins Gaudi. Not that many people are searching for that right now. So if you run it as an auction, you're going to lose money. You're not going to get what you really can expect to get from that. And then it hurts all the other sales of the same cards too, because everybody's like, oh, well, this one sold for $50 and you know, you're asking 200, how about I give you 50 for it? And you're like, well, no, this should, you know, it's worth more than that. So, I mean, is that what you guys kind of see too when it comes to these auctions? These people run older cards or cards that aren't in demand, and they seem to sell for a lot less than they should.
Yeah, I mean, I feel what you're saying. I mean, I think that's a good way of going about it with the buy it now or best offer. And also with, I mean, there's so many releases that come out on a pretty regular basis that, you know, it's not this week's release. It was like three releases ago, and people are not actively searching for it. So, you know, sometimes you want to put up a buy it now or best offer. So I agree with you. Those historic 33s, none of them should be selling for $33 or $30 or $40.
Right.
They should be going for a lot more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's called 33, but it shouldn't sell for 33. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. I mean, I just see that. I had a couple customers that bought those regularly, and they were just bummed that they were consistently selling for 30, 40, 50 bucks by auction. And it's just like, you know, some of these guys, they're not big names, but, you know, you got to kind of wait and get the right value on that. I mean, it's not like these guys are going to do anything tomorrow that's going to increase their value. And that goes for, you know, maybe if you're selling a John Elway card or a Nolan Ryan rookie, if you run it as an auction, you're going to not get what you should for it. Now, I mean, there's a fine line of needing the money now or being able to wait and hold off for the right offer too. So I understand where people come from. They're like, hey, I need to buy another box, or I need to buy something for my PC or whatnot. So I understand that mentality, but, you know, it's tough. I mean, you see kind of that stuff too, Ryan, on eBay when you're selling some of your cards? Have you went that route, or do you have a different strategy? I know you do a lot of COMC, but.
Yeah, it's been a little while for me on eBay, but I think what you're talking about, I think that is the smart thing to do. You know, I picked up a couple PSA D&E autographs this past weekend at a show I was at, and, you know, for like $10 or something. So I went online to well, what if I bought these on eBay? Like, could I have done better? And they were all buy it nows, and they were all in that kind of $30 to $40 range. So I was like, actually, a real smart. I think with hot items, like you're saying, do it with the auction. But with something that, like you said, is not going to get a lot of search, you might as well do the buy it now. I think, I don't know, but I think eBay has structured their fees now to where, I don't quote me, but I think it can be part of a free listing or something where you can post to buy it now. I think if you're trying to sell Series 1 cards, like you have some Sparkle cards, you want to put those maybe at auction. But if you have, you know, some older inventory, I would go the buy it now route. You can always take offers and, you know, accept an offer, but you're not going to get that instantaneous sale. But, you know, if I put one of these autographs I got up on eBay, I might only get $10 for it.
Right.
But if I put it up for $40, you know, 3-4 months later, I might get an offer for $30 or somebody might buy it. I think from the seller's perspective, I think that is what you want to do. But when I'm buying cards on eBay, I'm always looking for auctions. I filter out the buy it now stuff. So it depends what angle you're coming at it. If I'm buying, I'm looking for lots. I'm looking for auctions. I'm looking for a good deal on shipping. I'm looking for one seller who has a bunch of stuff, you know, ending, you know, within a day or two. So I guess it all depends. Some of the bigger sellers can probably get away with running auctions because they have a fan base or kind of more people tuning into their auctions. And so they can just run auctions because, you know, people, that's what they're known for. Whereas if you have a smaller store, a couple hundred items, you gotta go buy it now, I think, on eBay.
Yeah, and you know, actually Chris is on the line, so we're going to bring Chris on here shortly, but I wanted to add one more point to that is, you know, what about the good old hustle too, you know? I mean, what about putting your cards up, buy it now, hitting some forums, which we all know the forums love that you put eBay links up there. So go on Blowout and, you know, go on Baseball Forum, see if a guy's collecting Nolan Ryan or whoever you're selling, and maybe, you know, pimp your eBay out. Or use Twitter or Facebook as it's like a business. I think a lot of people don't do that, and that might be a good strategy is join these forums, join these guys, find these guys at PC, these guys that may need this card, and they're willing to pay what you want for it, and, you know, move your cards that way. And that's something I need to try too, because I put up a lot of stuff in auctions, and I lose, lose my, you know, my ass on them, so to speak. And if I actually tried to hustle it and push it on Twitter or Facebook and stuff like that, or go to some forum that allows eBay links, which I know a lot of them do, and say, hey, I got this auction, you know, make me an offer if you're a collector of this guy, and that might work even better as opposed to just letting it starting at 99 cents and running it. So I might try that out. Maybe do a little R&D for you guys and see, hey, you know, I'm selling my, you know, who's a non guy that's, you know, like a Steve Garvey rookie or something that I have, or, you know, see if I can find out and get a little bit more out of it. You never know. So,
yeah, but you mean like a non relevant guy, like a mediocre guy, like Michael Crabtree?
Oh,
Colin Kaepernick.
Ooh. Ooh, that's
man, I got to lay off the peyote.
I don't know about that one. That hurts. That's a little too soon. well, without further ado, we're going to bring on the YouTube legend who doesn't need no introduction, but we're going to go ahead and bring on Chris from Cards Infinity, the Hobby Box. What's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Is this Doug?
This is Doug, and you're talking with Ryan and Dan. Not much, man. How you doing?
Doug, Ryan, and Dan. All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm doing good.
Yep. Awesome.
How's everybody
man
over there?
Doing good.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, the site's cardsinfinity.com, which most of you guys that are listening already know about it. But, Chris, wanted to find out, you know, what year did you get your start? And, you know, give us a little background on, you know, what got you into sports cards.
Start is in the sports card, my physical store or the website?
Physical store. Let's start off with that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the physical store. Yeah, I think majority of everyone in the world, everyone collected in the 80s and 90s when the hobby wasn't back in then. It was actually really, really fun. But later in life, we find out that wasn't the best time to be a collector. So anyway, I got out of the game there for a while, and my friends started buying these boxes and stuff, and telling me all about like the jerseys, the autographs, and all the cool stuff you could find in these boxes and so on. So I started, this is probably around 2004, I started going into Walmart, actually. Believe it or not, they had hobby boxes in Walmart then, or in plastic boxes, like plastic,
yeah.
I think the plastic boxes where you couldn't steal them with like keys on them or whatever. But anyway, we would go in there and we'd get the boxes, and it just got turned into like an addiction where we would just always be in there grabbing up these hobby boxes. And this was like 2004. And we would try to go to the hobby store in my city, Wilmington, and come to find out the guy was just like astronomically overpriced to us. He was anyway. So I was like, you know what? I really enjoy this. I've always liked the aspect of a thrill of the hunt, treasure hunt, and I've always enjoyed sports, and I've always enjoyed sports cards. So I think I just tried to start my own store, and basically that's how I got started. So in 2006, I threw in the thing and started it up.
Nice. Yeah, I think cool. They use those locked glasses for razors now, not cards, right? I mean, I think that's where the blades
exactly,
are now.
Exactly. Yep, you're exactly right. They're in.
So what year did the hobby box open up?
March of 2006.
Nice.
Was the physical store, yeah. I started in March 2006. I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for like four dudes, it probably would have shut down before it even started.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I had like four or five people that really kept me in business for the first year or so.
Sweet. Yeah. Now, when did the YouTube thing start? What year after you were open, when did the first video on YouTube hit?
I think it was March. You can check my YouTube channel. I think it's March 7th, 2007 was the first upload YouTube video. Yeah. So I think it was like pushing on, almost 7 years ago in like a month.
Wow. Time flies.
Almost weird. I know. I tell you.
Like seven releases of Limited later, right? I mean, there you are.
Exactly.
Now, did you see somebody do it first? Or what kind of sparked the idea of like, you know, I'm going to try to do this online and I'm going to open this, you know, somebody's going to buy a box and I'm going to open for it and post the video.
Oh, yeah, that idea didn't come about probably until, like, August, I would say, of 2007. We started doing the YouTube videos. You've been around the game for a while. You know Dr. Wax Battle, right?
Yes, yeah.
You've heard of him, Dr. Wax Battle?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know if he does it anymore, but there used to be a man, he dressed up in a clown suit and acted really funny. But he would he would videotape people that come in his store opening boxes, but he'd only do it like once a week or twice a week. He would videotape, and I thought it was really funny, but I actually saw another guy, Cool Jazz, I forget his last numbers, but it's Cool Jazz. He would sit there and he would go to his house, and this was in like February. I think he may have started in February or something, but he'd do it like once a box break Thursday. So he would go in there with like a National Treasures and he'd videotape himself opening the box. I was like, dang, that's really cool. And I saw the other guys. There was only like maybe, I think, two or three guys that were actually just open their own boxes and videotape it. And there was, you know what I mean? There wasn't anyone like selling boxes and breaking them for other people. But so I was like, damn, I'm going to get a video camera, and all my guys that come in, I'm going to videotape them just with the hands, though. Because if you notice those videos back in the day, they would be sitting across the table from the camera and, like, showing themselves, and then they would flash a card. But I was going to do it from the vicarious view. Basically, all you see is cards and hands. You know what I mean? You're not going to see a bunch of faces and all this. And we're just going to show the cards. We're not going to show much base. We're going to make it fun, fast, and breeze through it. And I just started uploading them in March, and it kind of took off where everybody was, like, just really dig the videos, I guess, because they get to see firsthand what was coming out of these boxes, you know, all new releases and all that kind of stuff. But
definitely.
To get to the point of actually opening for other people, no one thought that would ever fly. I kind of came up, I never heard of anyone doing it, but I came up with that idea in, like, 2007 as well. I was like, what if people actually ordered from me and I broke the box for them? Then they see instantly what they get, and then I can ship them the cards. And all my friends in the store are like, that ain't going to work. No one's ever going to do that. All the fun's opening the box yourself. Stuff like this. But I tried it anyway, and I offered it out there, and I think the first month I offered it, I only broke like maybe one or two boxes for somebody. But
yeah.
And I think it was more of, hey, you got a good point of you just who wants to have someone else open their box of cards aspect of it. But then the second part was, do you trust the person that's opening your box? Because I wasn't doing it on a live feed. I was basically, they were just shooting, ordering off my website that I created, and if they ordered it and they said they want a box break, I would just go out there and break it. So you got to have a lot of trust in a person to do that, you know, because someone technically
Absolutely.
Could open the box, pull something nice, just grab another box and start the whole process over, especially if it's not a live feed or something. So they put a lot of trust in me, too, which was awesome. But then I came up with the idea about every box has numbers. So when you open
right.
the case, you show all the silver stickers with their individual logo numbers, and then they can pick which box they want. I still was not doing it live, mind you, you know, and then it kind of just took off from there. People would just start ordering and stuff like that. I don't mean to take over your show. You're probably asking more questions.
Oh, no, no. You're the star of it. I mean, people hear us talk every week. So, I mean, it's nice to actually have somebody on, and we're actually honored to have you on because, I mean, if it wasn't for you, I mean, honestly, we wouldn't do what we do, and nobody else would be either because you kind of innovated that aspect of this hobby. So people definitely need to give you more credit than, you know, you probably get. But if it's like us, you probably get those YouTube comments that make you scratch your head when somebody says something negative, but which maybe we'll go into later
exactly.
in the show. There's some pretty funny ones, but
they thumb down the video when you pull a logo man.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You pull
exactly.
a logo man, they'll thumb it down. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean that was one thing that, you know, when we were starting to watch your videos we knew right away, I mean, how you carried yourself, the transparency and you kind of probably put yourself in the customer's shoes when you kind of innovated the numbering because that was the only probably true way to make yourself transparent at the time was I'm going to number the boxes and you're going to get this box. So it was a great idea.
Or those silver sticker numbers that were already embedded on it, the NFL stickers, you know what I'm talking about?
Right, yep.
Yeah. The hologram stickers, they already have numbers. So. Yeah, but my
Definitely.
Idea with numbering the boxes, I still do that to this day where I take a magic marker and I number them. The way I looked at it is if I put a number 2 on that box, there's Panini logos all over the paper. So you can easily go back to the video that I opened the case on, match that number up, and look at the Panini logos. There's no way for me to rewrite a number 2 that way with the same logo layout on a new box. Does that make sense?
Right,
yeah.
It makes absolute sense.
That was my idea of writing the numbers on the boxes with a permanent magic marker and stuff like this. Just trying to create a base of trust so that people would trust me. Although I don't believe there's anyone out there that doesn't trust me. I don't know why they wouldn't. You know,
I don't think so. No, not at all.
I was just trying to create a level of trust is all. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and what year did you, I mean, was it recently that you started going live on Breakers TV to do the live breaks of your box breaks?
Yep. That was probably like, I don't know, for some reason I just thought it would be, for me to be live all day, I was like, damn, I'll have to have my camera running all day live. When people walk in, I'll have to like, they'll have to sit over there and wait, and it would just be a lot of downtime. It was so much easier to me. What I thought in my own mind was just whenever I order, I just do YouTube, and I can do that whenever I have time to do it and upload it, you know? And versus like when it's live, if someone wants a break, you need to be really quick about it. So that was always my holdback on going live. But I was like, you know what? I better start going live because I think it was the way everything was moving. Everybody was going to start doing live box breaks and stuff like this, and they just wanted live feeds. Although people have been doing group breaks live forever, you know, it wasn't like, you know, everybody's been doing it live for group breaks and probably even single box breaks. I know a lot of people that were doing it that way, but I was like, I'm just going to start going live and doing it that way. I just felt like it would be a lot of downtime when people walked in the store. People would be live waiting for me to walk over there, and they would hear all of our conversations in the store. But I do it anyway. So now that's what I did. Started in September.
Yeah, I mean, your YouTube videos, I mean, you have a crap ton of views, so which is good. I mean, it's good for the hobby in a fact that, you know, if somebody's not buying and they want to go into their local card store and buy a box, they, you know, your video is out there for everybody to see, which is, you know, the manufacturer should recognize that, you know. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know you've broken a lot of product over the last, you know, 7 or so years, but is there one product that you just absolutely love every year to break?
I would be honest, I'd be like everybody else, probably most anything that's over $500 a pack is always the more fun products to break, because I always tell people the same thing, you have so much for the person, has so much invested in it, you know, it makes your heart beat a little bit more, and you really want to see the big cards come out for those people that invest that kind of money. Flawless is the most expensive I've ever opened. As far as a regular box, I mean, granted, I did open a Tiger Woods for like $3,800. That made me nervous because I was like, good God, there better be some nice cards in this stuff. You know, this guy's invested like a used Honda in this thing. You better be something nice in here. But but anyway, yeah, anytime you open, like, I guess I look forward always to National Treasures. If I had to pick one, just National Treasures, it seems like it's always a fun break. There's always logo shields to be found and all kinds of stuff, you know. Exquisite, when Exquisite used to make basketball, that was one of the nicest ones too. I mean, they did basketball with the actual logo. I meant the actual NBA logo and stuff in it.
Yeah.
That was always. But with the college aspect of it, it's just lost a little bit of bluster to me. So I would, if I had to pick one, I would go National Treasures.
I agree. And I know that you probably had a ton of big hits over the same amount of time. Is there, you know, one just crazy chase card that you pulled that just sticks in your head that you just pulled in one of your box breaks?
Did you see the Kevin Durant logo, man? Did you see that one?
I think I did. Yeah, I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, it was out of the National Treasures. The logo, man, Kevin Durant, one of one. Autograph,
wow.
That was probably... for me, I'll be honest with you, if you watch the video, if you go back and watch the video, for me, it didn't seem like it was that big of a card. I was like, of course, I thought it was a few $1,000s, but kind of find out it was like a five-figure card. It's already exchanged hands like 3 times. It was like one of the big chase cards, apparently. But
wow, yeah.
That was probably the biggest card I've ever pulled, especially when it comes to like sell value. From my understanding, the guy that pulled it, there was a big controversy over this card to start with because he was apparently selling it to a guy in China, and the guy in China was sending payments maybe from like 3 different sources, all through PayPal. Like one was coming from payment from China for a lot of thousands of dollars, and then some were coming from another city in New York. And he was like, screw this, I'm not selling that guy and getting chargebacks because it didn't show up to China, or it didn't show up here, it didn't show up there, you know. It only can show up in one place. But anyway, to make a long story short, apparently he sold it in cash to a guy in Chicago, and that guy sold it to someone at a show in Chicago, and that guy brought it to Florida, and he sold it on eBay, and somehow it made its way back, all the way back to the original guy that wanted it. I don't know how much he spent for it, but the whole controversy from the beginning that made it back to his hands, somehow.
And
that was probably the biggest.
I've
had, like, Ty Cobb cut autographs, and, you know, I've had tons of logo mans and logo shields and all that stuff. So pulled a lot of really nice cards. That was probably the biggest.
Nice. Yeah, maybe it'll wind up in a best of, and you'll open it and get it again. You know, you never know.
Brian Gray might put it in. I did that one time. I pulled an Andrew Luck card for someone on video, and I found the same card in best of football.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Isn't that weird?
It's crazy how that works.
Yeah.
Now, I know, Ryan, did you have any questions for Chris before we get into our one-word segments?
Yeah, you know, one thing, you know, there might be some people out here who want to start a shop or kind of interested in the business. Chris, do you have what percentage of your – you're kind of one of the few people who has a shop who really maximizes it feels like the online space and doing the videos. A rough guess of what percentage of your sales are online or you're at your shop, is there a big difference, or, you know, what could somebody expect that maybe is starting a shop and wants to do some kind of online component, but also how to do?
Oh, for as far as my store, I'll be honest, it switched. After the housing bubble crash, my store switched completely to, like, I would honestly, I don't know the exact percentage, but I would say around 97%, 98% online, which is kind of weird for having a physical store to have that high a percentage online. But before the housing bubble, I used to have a lot of people that was coming to clear me out, but then they were all in some sort of way invested in, they were real estate agents and things like this. So I pretty much, one guy, I don't know, they were into contracting, they were in everything that had to do with the housing bubble. It was weird. Just about every one of my customers that would come in the store that were my big time regulars. So for me, it all switched over probably in like 2010 to where, somewhere in 2010, close 2011, maybe even 2009, I can't remember, but it switched over mainly just to all like online for me. But you were asking like what I would suggest for other people, or is that what the question was?
All right, just how to start a store? Just give people an idea on what is the percentage, you know, what, you know, percentage from the store, percent, you know, what is your most business that you, you know, what is the most business that you do, basically? It's more online, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for me, it's definitely online. It's if you see the video uploads and stuff, that's all coming from online. So I would say at least, if I had to take a guess, at least 97% is online. Out of every 100 boxes I sell, 97% are online.
Do you have people come into your store and kind of see you maybe doing a box break video and are like, what are you doing? Like, do they do some like non-online customers come in and they're like confused about what's going on?
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. People come in usually with a shoebox full of the sweet 1987 and 88 top and rubber bands, and they'll be looking at me. That while I'm in the video, I'll be like, oh, I'll be right there. I'm in a video live feed here, and they'll just be looking at me like, where do they stand? What do they do? They have no idea what's going on. They don't know if they're on tape at that point. They don't realize it's just on my hand. And they'll just be, like, looking all confused when I glance over at them. Like, they think I'm talking to myself, I guess. I don't know what they think. And then once I turn the video off and I explain them on a live feed, I was just showing cards and everything. They kind of get what's going on. So, but, yeah, I get people that come in all the time that do that.
And I guess I have one other question, actually. Are there still – I used to work in a card shop back in the glory days. Are there still whales that come in that literally it feels like they're dropping their whole paycheck for the week on wax? Does that still happen even after the housing bubble and kind of the economy downturn?
I'm sure there is 100%. There is people like that all throughout the United States, just not in my area. I live in an area where there's only maybe 150,000 people directly in our city. We have outskirts as well. But I don't have them for my store now. I used to, back in the day, I'd have guys that would come in and do exactly what you're talking about. But as far as coming in now, I don't have that kind of person. But I've heard of tons of stories where hobby stores, they rely on these big spenders that, like just like you say, they
right.
seem like spend their whole paycheck getting cases or whatever they can get from that paycheck every week. So they're out there for sure.
Now, when I used to, you know, I haven't watched a lot of your more recent videos, but I used to watch a lot of the videos, and there was a guy with the tattoos. Is that guy was like a business neighbor of yours? Or I remember he would come in and break some boxes for you guys and stuff and on some of your older videos. Does he still come around or no?
Yep. I still see him just about every other day in the parking lot or somewhere. But, yeah, he's still next door. He manages the tattoo shop next door. And when he first came – when I first started the business and when I moved to this store, which was in the summer of 07, I started my business downtown in March of 06, but I started in this store in 07. He was the neighbor, and he was the first guy to come over, and he liked sports, but he knew nothing about the new sports cards. So I kind of turned him on to it. It's like, oh, check these out. I mean, you can get like one-of-ones and patches. And he's like, oh, they wore those in games. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, and they autographed them and they numbered to 10, and I was just like, tell him. Next, you know, this dude was over here just dropping dollars. he would dream about it at night, and he couldn't wait for me to he'd meet me here in the morning. Just wanted to open more boxes. But I think that we call him Tattoo. We nicknamed him. Oh, actually, I didn't do that. Somebody on the YouTube nicknamed him Tattoo because his hands and his arms are all covered in tattoos when he would break his own boxes. And then he would just come over sometimes, and I'd be like, you want to break the box for someone else? And some people would actually request it. They'd be like, have Tattoo break my box, a new video or whatever. I'm like, that's cool. So, and there was also Any. I don't know if you watched way back in the day. There was Any that was No Emotion. Somebody nicknamed him that on YouTube as well. Because back in 07 when he would open in 08, he showed No Emotion. He would pull a Michael Jordan autograph. He'd be like, Michael Jordan autograph. That's how he would say it as it comes out of the pack. And you're like, oh, okay. So they nicknamed him Mr. No Emotion. But, nice. He was part of the real estate market and all that stuff too, so I don't see him anymore.
Yeah, and once again,
the
site is Cards Infinity. I just want to make sure everybody knows your website, cardsinfinity.com, and you can also follow them on Twitter @cardsinfinity. And is the sword still prevalent when you cut open the boxes? Do you guys still use the sword?
I still have it here, but it doesn't get asked. Somebody online nicknamed that. I think that was Mike G, actually. He nicknamed that. Oh, no, no. Somebody asked me on YouTube probably like 4 years ago what's the name of it, and I just made up a name immediately since I read it coming. I'm like, Stanley. So anyway, people used to ask for Stanley the sword. But I'll be honest, that doesn't happen very often anymore. Once in a blue moon, somehow they break it out, but it doesn't happen. I think the reason it took off is because Tattoo and I just broke it out one day for fun, and I think we pulled like 2 one-of-ones or something stupid in that break when we used the sword to cut the plastic. And then all of a sudden it was like the lucky sword or something. So I don't know. But
nice.
Yeah,
well,
I'm going to buy in.
I'm going to request the sword. So I'm going to buy a box the next year. And you're going to, hey, I want the sword. So.
Exactly. Use the sword. Use Stanley.
Yeah, Stanley, exactly. I'm going to write that down because I'm going to put that in the comment when I check out. And for you guys that are online, I mean, Chris got like everything on the site. I mean, and really, really great prices too. So if you're looking to break any new wax, old wax, got a lot of old stock too. Check out the site again, cardsinfinity.com. And I did want to, we have a new segment we're going to try. Actually, you're going to be our guinea pig on it. It's a one-word answer. So we're going to just, and it kind of can be a little silly. So we're going to just,
okay,
you know, ask a little quick hints, or so to speak. So favorite song?
Damn. you got me on the spot here. I got a bunch. I'll go with, I don't know, Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses.
Nice. That's a good one. Favorite sports team, if there's only one?
I'll stay with the Redskins.
Okay. Nice, nice. A little RG3. Favorite beverage?
Diet Coke by far.
Me too. I have one right now. What one word to describe Tops? Or maybe two words if you need to.
I'd hate to insult them. Are they listening?
They probably don't listen. They don't think they do. So completely open for them.
Mediocre.
There you go.
I'll take a fair enough voice.
One word to describe Panini.
I'll use two. Let me see. I'll just say... I actually like Panini. I'm a homer for them, so I just said great customer service. I don't know.
There you go. That's what everybody – yeah, that's a good answer. One word to describe Leaf.
Speaks the truth. Well, I have to use three words. I was going to say speaks the truth.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaks
his mind for sure. And I don't, you know, how you're doing with the products, but it seems like everybody's requesting more and more Leaf stuff. So I got to give props to Brian on some of the new stuff he's coming out with.
Mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus.
First word I think of is twerk. When I think of it.
All right. Well, that's what we had for the quick hits. But and then before I let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on the 2014 products, and where do you think everything's headed in 2014? Any kind of early predictions on stuff?
Due to the rookie classes this year, typically are going to be, I think, a twofold, maybe even threefold better than they were this year. I think the products should do a lot better this year. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you've been following, but the majority of the products this year tanked, and a lot of cards companies and stores lost a lot of money. You know,
yeah,
they were tanking right out of the gate. And I think with, you know, Manziel and Jadavian and all these guys coming out in football, I think it's going to help the football products tremendously. And you got basketball. A lot of guys are going to be coming out for basketball. So I have a good feeling this year is going to be a rebound year for our sports cards. Well, I'm hoping so anyway. I have my fingers crossed. Last year was the 2013 was it was pretty not that pretty.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they all predicted it at the beginning, and we all thought that somebody was going to come out, but without a big quarterback, I think that's what's, you know, affected it for sure.
There were some nice players that came out, but it just wasn't anybody that just, like, you had to chase it, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
this wasn't the big wow factor in the 2013. And I was hoping the card companies, just to touch on the topic, I was hoping the card companies would actually notice that and maybe go more veteran with their products. You know what I mean? Knowing that the rookies aren't going to be that strong, but that seemed like they didn't go that route for most products, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we thought, too, that they'd figure it out early enough and say, hey, you know, Ryan Swope, no one wants him. Let's get some, you know, Ray Rice or, you know, something in the product that, you know, would help add some value to it, but didn't happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a question in the chat from Andrew, and he asked, did you notice an increase or decrease in people buying boxes of cards this year?
For me, my sales went up as far as like volume sales, like what I sold the year before. I sold more this year, but I would say a lot of the stuff I sold, I sold a good percentage of it for less than what I paid for it. So if that makes sense, I would say last year was 2012 was obviously a way better year as far as you can make a little bit of money on the boxes. But this year, I meant, there's no joke, 20 to 30% of what I sold was a lot of times was below cost, you know? So I was selling them, but I wasn't selling them for a profit. Because the thing I have in this business, and I don't know if you guys are the same way, but you have to kind of like almost guess as to what you need to load up on. Because, you know, if you like, for instance, like the Tribute Baseball, I loaded up on Tribute WBC. I was just like, oh, this is not two patches in it. They're going to be numbered to like whatever or less. It's going to have all these, foreign baseball players, and I know the Asian market loves foreign baseball. You know what I mean? They just love those kind of cards. I'm like, I can load up on this. I loaded up on it. I sold one, pre-sold one box, had it all coming in, and we're talking well over $200 a box, and I was selling them at one time for $99.
Wow.
And you're taking $100 a beat per box, and you're sitting on like 30 of them at Sting.
you know?
So I would say to answer his question, I sold more this year as far as the volume of sales. Say it wasn't as great a year as 2012. So.
Yeah, we were in the same boat. I mean, we only ordered, I think, two cases. I think we only had like 20 or like 10 boxes of WPC. But yeah, it was just actually, I think at one point I just opened them and sold the individual cards because it was just like,
oh yeah,
you know, at the point of it was like $120 loss, I'm just going to hope I pull something. But they did go up with Tanaka and it jumped up like $30 or something like that. So people are going,
yeah, funny
Tanaka.
Part of that story is I was down to my last box when they jumped up. I got one out there.
Oh, man.
I sold out all the way to 115 or 120 and then losing like 80 to 100 a box. And then the second I get down to my last box, they somehow jump back up. I'm like, that's
ironic.
That's perfect.
Yep. It's the irony of it.
That did that.
Yeah.
The thing
is,
in this business, if you're going to get in this business, I think you've got to know how to order your inventory. You know what I mean? You don't want to overorder in this business. You know, some people want to gamble and be like, oh, this is definitely going to go up, so I better order 5 or 10 cases of it, you know. And then it tanks on you. You can take a beating on it, you know. So you got to know how to order your inventory and what's going to move right out of the gate and what you're going to be sitting on and stuff like this. Because if not, you can take some losses in it. But that, for this year, that's what happened to me. I was kind of overordering. I learned my lesson. I won't do it anymore.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, seeing it on some of the forums, a lot of people did the same thing because 2012 was so easy. And then it's like, oh, well, 2000, you know, I think the only Topps product that went up this year was maybe Museum. I mean, even some of their staples like Tribute and regular Tribute and Triple Threads and Sterling, those all went down. I thought they were good products. So
exactly.
It's crazy to see. And I think with Bryant and Tanaka for baseball coming out next year, I think we got some hope too. So
Hopefully we'll have a good year this year with all the releases and a lot of nice high-powered rookies that people are at least going to want to collect in the beginning, so it should help the product out for it. So.
Definitely. And
hopefully they don't make too much of it.
Yeah, that's what I hope, too. I think if there's going to be less orders this year, maybe they'll make a little bit less of a print run and stuff will dry up a little quicker. So.
Exactly.
So I actually had a question and from Trevor, and he wanted to know your thoughts on razzing. If you're familiar with razzing.
Yep.
If you've ever been asked to razz.
I have been asked to razz. I've never done a razz, but my thought on it, I think it's actually really cool. I'm intrigued by it myself. There's a few dudes that are really big on the breaker side of it, and they love to razz. So it's actually intriguing to me to watch. I like the whole flow of it and everything. But for me, I own a business and everything. I would actually enjoy doing it. Don't get me wrong. I would enjoy doing it. I just don't have the legalities behind it. So that for that reason, I don't do it, you know. It's
right.
For one person to win, 9 people have to lose, unless you do a 20-man razz, and then for one person to win, 19. But that's pretty much in anything you ever do, you know, for the most part. I just don't have the legalities behind it, so for that reason, I don't do it. But other than that, I have no problem with people doing it, you know. It's
right. That's kind of one of the things that's one of the reasons we never jumped into it as well, is I don't think it is legal, and you don't want to put yourself out there, especially the what you have going. You don't want to risk it and, you know, one thing and mess up everything else. So,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just don't know. Yeah, if I knew it was totally legal and people wanted to do it, I would definitely do it, you know. I think some companies, they do it where if you're going to do a RAS, you give away something for every spot, you know what I mean, like a pack of cards or something like this. So at least everybody gets something. But the main guy will get, you know, the main guy will get the big prize, which is whatever you're razzing. So that's kind of covering their behind to some aspect, but yeah.
Sure. And now,
it looks fun. It looks a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does, yeah. I mean, I'm a Vegas guy myself, like gambling a little bit, so it definitely just seems like it could be something quick. But as far as your website and when you go live, when can people find you on Breakers? Is there a set time that you do it every day, just so we can let people know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, usually 95% of the time, sometimes things get in the way, but 95% of the time I'm on Monday through Friday at noon, and I would say the majority of the time even on Saturday, but Saturday I get off around 2. On Monday through Friday, I'm minimum noon to 6. Usually. Today was an exception. I had to get off at 5:15. I had to pick up my car. I had an issue with my car, and I had to be there by 5:30. But 99% of the time, Monday through Friday from noon to 6. And then Saturday noon, most of the time noon until like 3 or something.
Nice. Yeah, and you can find them on Breakers TV, and you can actually see the link on cardsinfinity.com. Now, what's been hot lately product-wise? Has there been one product that everybody's been like, man, I want to break a box of this?
For my guys, but lately it's been always, it seems like two Leaf products. Leaf, that's the football. Every time I get it in, it kind of goes right out.
Yeah.
That's the football. I'll order 15, 20 boxes at a time, and they seem like they don't last but a couple of days, and those will be pretty gone. Those photographs, I don't know if you guys have opened that yet, the Leaf 8x10
photographs.
Yeah,
those are awesome.
Property.
Yeah.
Seems like lately, now they've cooled off a little bit because if I could have had a lot of cases as soon as it came out, it would have been a lot bigger for me probably. But it seems like as soon as I get them in, they were going right out, so I had to wait another 4 or 5 days to get my new shipments in. Plus, it was icy and stuff here. But I just got a couple cases in the other day, and we opened a few. But I would say in the last, like, month, it's been Best of Football and the Leaf photos have been my two best, believe it or not.
Is there any Christopher Walken in there? That would be perfect for your
yeah,
shop.
Yeah, I was wondering. I don't think he is. I was actually hoping Philip Seymour Hoffman would be in there because I'm actually a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of that guy, and I hate that happened. So I was like, damn,
yeah.
I'm not even trying to find Philip's autograph, but I don't think he's in there.
Yeah, great actor.
But,
love him in a lot of movies, actually.
Yep. Exactly.
So cool, yeah. Everybody's been talking about Leaf, the best of, and then the new Legends of the Diamond stuff, the Pop Century of the 8x10s, even the other Pop Century that came out like 6 months ago. People love that. So I mean, it's kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, if you like celebrity based items, then they can get the names. They got like Al Pacino and Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, the guys that usually don't get a lot of autographs from, but you can find them. So that's what the guys like chasing them for, that Pop Century for us, but. I think it's fun because it's like a walk down memory lane when I pull these photos. I'm like, oh, geez. Like, I'll pull, like, Jim Carrey, you know, and Cable Guy and stuff. I'm like, oh, dang. It's fun for me. I'm a big movie fan as well. I like sports, but I love movies, too.
Well, that's the question. Favorite movie. What's the favorite movie?
Oh, Boogie Nights with Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's in it.
Nice.
Great movie.
To me, I think it's the best directed movie. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen Boogie Nights, but go check out the Alfred Molina firecracker scene. It is the best cinematic scene, direction, and acted out in the history of movies. It's the firecracker scene. It's about 7 minutes long.
What's that Don Cheadle line, Dan, that you repeat like almost every day?
Oh, what?
If it helps,
one?
You can move your hips, or where he's in front of the stereo on the beginning.
Stop it. Move your hips if it helps you.
Yeah.
Trying to sell that 80s stereo equipment.
Yeah.
Yep.
That movie is so good. And everyone thinks when I say that it's because of like the pornographic side of it. I don't even care about that side of it. I just think it's so well acted. It's amazingly good. But my second favorite movie probably would be Magnolia. Same director, same actor. I mean, a lot of the same actors in it. Paul Thomas Anderson directed it. Love that movie. But
nice.
I don't know. I'm a huge fan of direction. I like the way directors do it. Quentin Tarantino is my second favorite director, right behind P.T. Anderson. So.
Nice. Yeah, I love all his movies, too. Yeah, we're a big comedy. I haven't seen a lot of Judd Apatow movies lately, but we used to be big Judd Apatow guys that loved his comedy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
super funny.
Fairly Brothers. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we won't take any more of your time, man. We want to let people know to check you out on cardsinfinity.com if you want to, you know, bust the personal boxes at, you know, phenomenal prices. Got great prices on anything. And check you out on Breakers TV. Is there anything else you'd like to promote that you got coming up? Maybe a couple new releases coming out or anything? Or
I don't think there's actually anything new released. We do have that promotion. I don't know if you guys I'll be honest. I know you guys run your group breaks and all that kind of stuff. Do you guys own a physical store as well, or do you not do that yet?
No, we just have – well, California rent was so high, we just decided to get an office space. So we just do everything in an office.
Oh, I got you. I was about to say, because if you guys are a member of Panini Roundtable, they're actually letting Panini Roundtable members break gold standard this week. Did you hear about that?
I did, yeah. So people can break that with you on – is it Friday that's coming out?
I think it's coming out Friday, and the real release isn't until next Wednesday or Friday. So we'll get it like a top 5 days in advance or something like that. So probably
awesome.
Be doing some sort of like a nice group break with prizes and stuff for the new gold standard a little bit ahead of everybody else. So should be fun this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, exactly. If you guys want to get that, yeah, if you guys want to get gold standard early, definitely check out Guards. I want to see it, so I'll probably be buying something. Then maybe that's where I'll request Stanley on a gold standard box. So,
there you go.
So, but yeah, check out cardsinfinity.com. Follow on Twitter at cardsinfinity. And man, pleasure to have you on the show, and it's an honor as well, Chris, to have you on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having
me.
I appreciate it. It was fun.
And actually, one last thing: are you going to be in Vegas for the summit?
Oh, I'm thinking about that one. I'm always on the edge with it, Vegas. I went and met you guys there that one year, and I've been there, but it seems like I have to go by myself. That's always the rub with me. I'm like, do I really want to go out there and be by myself the whole time? You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to get my girlfriend Myra to go, and she doesn't know if she wants to go. I'm on the fence. I may go. I may not. I haven't decided yet. I have to decide in the next week or so. So I'll decide then. But I may go out there. You guys going?
Yeah, we'll be there, and if you're out there, we'll buy you a drink. I mean, it's only like a 1 hour flight for us, so it's a little bit more of a trek for you. But if you're out there,
yeah,
dude, I'd love to meet up with you and have a drink and you know, talk the hobby and stuff.
Sweet, that sounds good. I'll try to make it this year. I'm hoping I can. I'm gonna try to get Myra to talk to her and see if she wants. She just never been on a plane before, so she didn't know if she wants to go or not.
Yeah, just tell her about all the shows that are going. You know, I don't know if she's into some. I mean, there's always some amazing shows on the nightlife, like Celine Dion or something, or whatever she's into. I'm sure there's something out there going on. So.
True. That's a good point. Good point.
All right, man. We'll let you go. And yeah, have a good evening. And thanks again for coming on the show.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye. Awesome.
What up? Awesome.
He was a really good guest. And people in the chat said Chris was a great guest. That was awesome. And, actually, I didn't even realize that he probably was the first guy to do the hands and do breaks that way via YouTube.
Yep.
When he mentioned Cool Jazz, that literally like put me back into a place. I remember when I think I had failed at my card shop, I think, and wasn't really interested in cards. I had another job. But then I went online for some reason and started watching breaks of this guy, Cool Jazz, and some of Chris's breaks. And that guy, Cool Jazz's breaks are so entertaining. Like, to this day, I remember them. And just the way he would talk and how, like, excited he was to open. And he would always open, it seemed like, nice stuff. Like, he'd get a whole case and, open really nice stuff. It just... kind of brings me back to that time of when that became popular, putting, kind of the pre-live streaming, putting the videos on YouTube and doing the breaks. And the guy would get thousands of views on, YouTube for his breaks. Cool Jazz. I hope his videos are still on YouTube, because I think after we get done with this show, I'm going to go look to try to watch some of them again. Kind of brought back some memories there, sentimental memories for me there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the guy literally, paved the way for, Cool Jazz too. All those guys that kind of started early, Chris. I think Chris took it to a new level because he was doing so much. You know, there was a constant, 10 videos a day. I mean, I remember when we first got started and, we were, checking out what the product looked like. I mean, he would do like 10 boxes of one product when it came out, boom, boom, boom. Plus, people would do older stuff. And I mean, the guy would literally post 30, 40, 50 videos a day. It's crazy. And he kind of brought that kind of mainstream. And I know he did a little bit of, he's done a little bit of group breaks, but I mean, obviously his niche is what he does and he does it well. So, I mean, it really kind of shaped what us guys and everybody else kind of does online today. So, crazy.
I love the Boogie Nights reference.
I knew you'd love that. That's like your favorite movie. I couldn't believe he said that. I was like,
that is his favorite movie. That and Dumb and Dumber. I have interesting taste. But yeah, Boogie Nights is just absolutely amazing. So that was cool.
Yeah. And we'll get into some reviews here. But you know what I noticed before I went live? Did you guys see the transcripts between Incognito and Martin, the text message that got leaked? I guess it was like 1,200 text messages between them.
I did not.
Oh, it's pretty epic. I don't know if I can say some of this stuff on the air, but...
probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they have the whole transcript, and these guys were not, like, enemies. These guys, the way they're talking to each other, these guys were boys. So for Jonathan Martin to do what he did, I don't know. I really don't understand it. I mean, he was like, I'm going to try to weed through it and say the stuff that I could say here. He's like, are you going to the Jonathan Martin was like, you going to the tailgate gate? And he's like, no, I'm not. And he goes, and then Richie Cognito said, well, you look like an AIDS patient with a shaved head. And then he's like, ha, 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 girls love it. And he's like, oh, girls don't love AIDS. And he's like, true, but they can't resist the buzz cut. And he's like, what are you doing tonight? Chilling. How was the tailgate? It was pretty awesome. So he's like, I bet you have any pictures of hot chicks, Richie Incognito said. And dude, it's like ridiculous, like between these guys. Like, oh, and then Jonathan Martin was like, oh, I took some videos of some girls. He's like, the other girl, she was the third wheel, and she didn't want to come home, but we got some girls at home last night and stuff like that. And they're just going back and forth, and it's like probably freaking 100 text messages in one day, and then they have the course of like 2 weeks. And it's kind of crazy that this guy would actually say that he was getting bullied by this guy after he's having text messages like this. So I don't know. We'll see what comes out on this.
I don't know. It's a weird situation. I mean, Incognito had he had some character issues in college. I know he had some character issues. I mean, when he was at the Rams, he was good for like a personal foul every game. good little 15-yarder.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter. It's not like we were going to score or anything, but you know.
Yeah. You guys, that was a rough, those were some rough years for you guys back then, you know.
It's been a rough decade. It's been a rough decade and a half.
Yeah, since 2000, after you lost to the Patriots, all downhill from there.
You know, I think in the last 15 years, I think there's only one team that has a worse record than the Rams.
Yeah.
I think it might be the Raiders.
I think you guys are pretty close. You helped out. You helped yourself out last 2 years. What were you, 8-8 or 8-7-1, and then you were 8-8 this year?
Yeah, we were seven, eight, and one, and 7-9.
Man, that's almost 50% right there, though. That's helping out the old average.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't go to playoff games if you're below 500 usually, unless you're playing basketball.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing basketball in the Eastern Conference, you probably have a chance.
Well, maybe you guys can hire Mike Singletary next year and go ahead into the draft.
I want winners.
That's what you need. Winners.
Dude, your drops. You're setting yourself up for them.
But I'm I get happy to hit this button, you know? I mean, I got to use it.
Doesn't it defeat the purpose? You're not supposed to set yourself up for your own drops.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that was in the rule book.
I'm just upset because I don't have anything. I can't drop anything. I don't have samples.
You could do like your own, like, you could like do an impersonation, you know, with your voice or something.
I guess I could.
But
I guess I
can. Anyways,
I probably pull something up on my phone.
Yeah, you could probably an app for that. I wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on Tanaka. What do you think his base auto is going to go for, and when do you think it's going to come out? What do you? I mean, so let's just like let's say that they get him in tribute. and it's numbered to 25 or it's a low print run. What do you think? I mean, what's the first auto going to sell for Tanaka? Start with Dan.
Okay. I don't want to talk over Ryan. So I think it's going to be – I think they're going to have him in Bowman. And I think they're going to put him in I think they're going to put him in Bowman as a redemption.
Okay.
Which is going to suck because who knows when those cards are going to be live. But it's probably going to be I think a little bit north of $200.
Hmm. You think they're going to squeeze them into Bowman with Chris Bryant and Abreu already kind of being in there? You think they're going to use him on there, or just like a short print?
I think it's going to be a short print redemption.
Okay.
Maybe number to 25. Maybe number to 25, and it'll probably be like a $200 card.
Like a lucky redemption one. They do that every year.
Kind of like a lucky redemption.
Can you imagine? Because you know how Topps does not name the lucky redemption for like 3 weeks. Can you imagine like what those are going to sell for just because people are going to speculate that it's Tanaka? I mean, you're talking about those things you're probably going to sell for like $300. Like just on the hope
easily.
That it's Tanaka. And there's going to be people buying every single – if there's four of them, there's going to be guys buying every single one of them early.
Yep. And, I mean, could be three scrubs and one Tanaka.
Like a Josh Rutledge?
Like a Josh Rutledge.
Yeah. Mm.
But Rutledge isn't that – he isn't that bad.
Right. He's just bad on the pocketbook, though. He just doesn't – people don't want to pay.
Nobody really pays.
I'll preface this. Me and Dan were sitting there. It was 2012 Finest Baseball, and they had the Lucky Redemptions in there or the Finest Mystery Redemption, whatever they called it at the time. And they had already released like four of them, and there was the fifth one out there. And it was when Manny Machado got called up, and everybody was speculating that Machado was going to be the Lucky Redemption because he wasn't in the set already, and, you know, he didn't have too many autos out there. So we found one. Luckily, we only bought one, and we just didn't go all in. But we found one for $150, and then 2 weeks later, they named Josh Rutledge as the number five. And I think I sold that card for $20.
Nice.
Losing. That's losing right there.
That's a good ROI right there.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's like a.
But you could have sold it to Ryan. Ryan would have gave you $20 for it. Could have put it in his buyback product. that could have been a cornerstone. Chase
True.
Card.
Big hit.
Big hit right there. Come up right there.
Big ol' just the first card on the sell sheet. 2012 Josh Rutledge at a Finest. Nice. Just. This could be yours.
Now, Ryan, what do you think of Tanaka? I mean, what do you think his first card is going to sell for? And when do you think Topps, if you know, we're going to crystal ball it, what do you think their plans are for Tanaka in 2014?
You know, that is a great question. I'm probably not an expert. You know, I saw him pitch, actually, for the team Japan, right? He was with Japan. I've seen this guy pitch. He's really good. I think he one hit the Giants for about five innings in spring training before they took him out for pitch count reasons and all that stuff. So the kid can – I'm now remembering this game that I saw him. And I remember there was rumors, oh, well, he's going to, you know, he's going to be posted or whatever the term is, and there's going to be a big bidding for him. So now that I'm remembering this game, this kid can really pitch. I think his autograph is going to sell for a lot. I don't know. Again, I would think quite a bit. He's going to be one of the kind of main guys because you figure he's going to be in that rotation. And if he pitched anything like he did in spring training, he's going to be pretty good. Keeps the ball down, throws hard. I think there's like a little sinker or something there that is really hard to hit. So, what they sell for, I don't know. I would think over $100 for his base Bowman. What did Darvish's you know, what did you Darvish's – I mean, Darvish's stuff came out hot, like 200-300,
yeah.
if I recall right.
It
so
was,
if they
yep.
limit, you know, what it is, if they limit, you know, what he's in, who knows? Because Sky could be – it could be 200-300 for an autograph for a little while, and then if he performs well, you know, he can stay in that upper range as Darvish has. I don't know what a regular Darvish autograph sells for now. That's who I would probably compare it to. Darvish might have more stuff. Like, I mean, Darvish is unbelievable. But he's been around a little bit. He's not the hot new guy. So people are going to probably take to this Tanaka. I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing for collecting. And hopefully they get a bunch of his autographs. I wouldn't see why not. You know, this is probably something he'll do is sign a bunch for Bowman. Is he going to be in Bowman? Did you guys mention that? Is he in
we
Bowman?
We don't know. I mean, I'm just actually
okay.
scouring the forums as you were talking, and they did sign Darvish and they got him in Bowman. So they got Darvish in Bowman the first, you know, it was kind of the same situation where Rangers signed him and he was in Bowman. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm, but I think that year of Bowman was, it needed an extra kind of boost. I mean, it had, I think Garrett Cole was in that one, so that was the other big name. And Garrett Cole is a lot bigger now than he was then, so I think they threw him in there to kind of push sales of 2012 Bowman, because I don't think there was any Harper then, or if there was, there was short print. There was no other kind of name coming out. I think Tavares was that year, but at the time he wasn't, you know, big. But so 2012 Bowman, they got Darvish, so it'd be interesting to see, because if I was them, I probably wouldn't use him, because – Chris Bryant stuff for Leaf right now is on fire. Chris Bryant, anything Chris Bryant right now is on fire. So I think they have that name in Abreu to use to move Bowman. So I wouldn't be surprised if they wait to his first on-card will be in Bowman Chrome and then use him in, like, Tribute and maybe Triple Threads or – well, Triple Threads will come out after Chrome, but, like, Tribute for sure. Maybe Tier 1 will have a redemption. So – it his first card will be a Bowman Mini, Donovan says. Okay, so that won't be an auto, but it'll be so the Bowman Chrome Mini set maybe he's going to be in. So that might be kind of crazy.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they strategize. And the other side of the coin is what's this guy signing for? I mean, he just signed with, what is it, $150 million deal with the Yankees or something with a ridiculous guarantee? So, I mean, it's not like Puig where, you know, Puig was signing for little at the beginning. This guy's going to want a lot per autograph. So, I mean, they may not even get that many autographs for this guy. I could see him asking $60 to $100 per auto. I mean, and then Topps may be like, okay, well, we're only going to have him sign like 150 things this year or something based on the budget. We didn't plan for this. I don't know. I mean, I don't see him signing for cheap.
Well, it gets back to your theory of don't have it in the budget, but they could still put redemptions in there.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, they may not have the cash right now to pay for the autos, but 6 or 8 months down the road, they may have some freed up cash to get those autos.
Yeah, did we talk about that on the show?
We have. Yeah, you've talked about that on the show, but it is a good point. And again, it is speculation, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, the theory is if you're a new listener here, and I'm sorry if I'm rehashing something, is I don't think we know all the logistics of the redemption. I mean, I know there's some guys that are redemptions and everything, like Jose Fernandez and stuff, so maybe those guys aren't signing. But it almost seems like to me that they have X amount of budget for signing players, and if they make a redemption and they wait 6 months, then they could pay the guy rather than paying them up front to sign the card, so they kind of move their money out, so to speak. And I wouldn't put it past any of these guys doing that to stretch the budget. You know, it might have been the same deal with Puig early on. They're like, okay, well, he's not going to be live. He came out, he wasn't live in anything. He wasn't live in Inception. He wasn't live in Tier 1. I think the first card he was live in was Chrome, so it was like 4 or 5 months after his debut, and then he was live. So I think and then you see the other redemptions started to pop up too, like the Inceptions were filled. The Tier 1 was filled. So it was kind of like, okay, well, we're going to put him in as a promise note, and then, you know, when we have the budget to pay for him, then we're going to start filling these redemptions. I'm pretty sure that probably does happen with some guys. It's not that they've already paid him and they're waiting for the autographs. It's the fact that maybe they don't have the cash. They put out too many products already. You know, I don't know. I mean, can you see that, right?
Well,
can you
I mean,
see that
it's
as a possibility?
It's an easy fallback to be like, it's a lot easier to tell your customer, oh, we're waiting for the person to give us, to basically sign the cards and get them back to us, than telling your customer, oh, well, we don't really have the money to afford to get him to sign. But,
right.
You know, when we do, here's a redemption card.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, is that something you could see, Ryan, too, that they could be using that as a budgetary reason? I mean, I know they just took out a loan, so, I mean, it makes me even more, you know, that they are doing that. But what do you think?
I'm amazed that people don't get more upset over the redemptions and those 10,000 redemptions they sent out. And that, yeah, well, a lot of times they don't print your cards until it's financially beneficial for them. And that's why you sometimes don't get cards for a year, because they haven't even made the cards yet, let alone get the autograph on them and send them out
right.
to you. So, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of complaining about, you know, a girl opens 3 wax packs and starts complaining, but why aren't there more complaining over some of these redemptions and just what a scam it seems like, especially with how expensive these products are. It's insane. It just seems like highway robbery. And it seems like, this does fit into their – they will make these cards and produce these cards when it fits into their budget, when they get a big signing session and get all the cards done at once, get a deal on printing all the cards at once.
Well, they also have to pay for the – if it's Tanaka, they have to pay for the photo from a photographer too, right?
Right.
That all goes into
that's
the cost.
Yeah, that's all another added cost. So there's many layers to this, and we've seen they've got to print these sets 6 months in advance. I mean, there's guys in Top Series 1 that were traded 2 months ago or left their team 2-3 months ago, but they're still in the old uniforms on the Series 1 cards because they had these cards made or had these, you know, couldn't go rush and change anything. So I'm amazed, and I even heard a Topps guy even – he kind of alluded to this, how he's amazed that more people don't complain, that there's not more complaining. People think there's a lot of complaining. There's really not about these redemptions. There's really not a lot of complaining about it. It's a few people here and there. It's an angry collector here and there. It's not widespread at all.
Yeah.
And barely do these companies' feet ever get put to the fire. Barely ever. You're
right.
Kind of seen as kind of this crazy person when you're trying to get your redemption card fulfilled, and it's been a year or 2 years or whatever it is. I mean, I can understand a few months, maybe. Even then, you know, these boxes are you guys know these boxes are $150 each. I mean, if I buy a PlayStation and I come home and it doesn't work, oh boy, Sony, they tried. Gosh, it's so expensive to make these. God, they tried so hard. Man, oh. Yeah, my Dell computer doesn't work. God, they try so hard to make these computers work. Gosh, I should just give them credit. And, hopefully they'll send me another one in 6 months. I'll just wait, you know. I'll just wait for it. It's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. And I get heat all the time for complaining about certain things and all the time about complaining about certain things. And I'm just shocked that more people don't do it with the amount of, if these are 50-cent packs or, you know, whatever it is, or if you buy a couple of these Series 1 packs for $1.99, you know, that's not, you know, you shouldn't feel too bent out of shape if you don't get something. But if you're really involved and you spend some money, and not that you have to get something and sell it on eBay for more than what you paid for it. I know I'm getting off topic here, but
no, actually, you read my mind.
You
read my mind about the eBay, because I actually just was thinking about it. Like, a lot of the biggest hits that we've been pulling lately out of A5 Star or National Treasures, like, the biggest hits we've been pulling have been redemptions. It's crazy. I mean, like, one-on-ones and stuff like that. Like, it's like, so people, I think, are more inclined to sell that because now the feeling is, and now the feeling is that they're never going to get the card. So they're like, I'm not going to redeem it. I want my cash now. So, like, for example, we pulled, and it was probably one of the biggest cards we've ever pulled. We pulled it about 3 weeks ago. It was the 1953 Brooklyn Dodgers cut auto lineup book. So it's 9 autos. It's a 1-of-1. It's from 5-star. And you've got cut autos of Pee Wee Reese, Duke Snider, Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, Gil Hodges, Carl Eskrine. So, I mean, we're talking about a possible $10,000 card here, and it was pulled in a 5-star box. It's a redemption. And, you know, I think 8 of these 9 guys are passed away. So they obviously have – they have to have already acquired the autos, or maybe they still have to pay for them. But my customer, and we were both wondering, we're like, if he redeems this, is he going to get the card, or – like, is there any way to know if this card's going to be live or not? I mean, that really will kind of – he would probably redeem it, but if not, he didn't – he couldn't get a hold of anybody. So he's got the card on eBay now, and he's just taking best offers for it. I mean, it's a pretty historic card. I mean, that's a big card. I mean, 42, I mean, Jackie Robinson. I mean, that's 1953 Brooklyn Dodger. I mean, that's a huge card. And, you know, it's just – is it, how long is it going to take? Can they give you a timetable? Is it ever going to get made? Because you hear those horror stories. There was somebody on Blowout, and I know I'm going down, you know, being a negative Nancy here, but it's just glaring problems that maybe need to be taken care of. There was a guy on Blowout that had like a Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. It was like 4 guys. The card was valued at like $3,000. It was like a 1-of-1 from last year's 5-star. It was like 4 autos on it. And Topps couldn't get the, they couldn't make the card. So they offered him like 2 cases of 5-star and 3 boxes of Tribute and Bowman Draft. They gave him options on sealed boxes, and the guy's like, I don't want to gamble. I want a card that's worth that much. And they're like, well, we don't have inventory like that. We can't give you a card that's worth that much. All we can do is give you hobby boxes for the value of the card. So, I mean, I don't know what's worse. Do you take the hobby? I mean, some people on the Blowout, or I think it was on Blowout forums, people were saying, well, then just get the boxes and sell them, and then buy a card of your own. So, I mean, I could see that. I mean, at least they're trying to do something for them, but, I mean, what do you think? I mean, Dan, what's your take? I mean, how would you feel if they offered you those hobby boxes?
Well, I have concerns. Why did they have – why does the manufacturer still have those boxes? Weren't those all sold out straight to the distributor? Why are they holding back some stock?
Because they have to have some for instances like this. It's like they have to carry. I don't know if they have to. I'm just speculating that they have to have stuff for these issues, so they keep stuff.
I mean, I do like the fact that they don't have a card that's worth $3,000 just sitting there. I mean, I would like to think that everything that's live that's worth value goes into the product. So, I mean, imagine the uproar if they were like, oh, well, we have a draft picks and prospects, Bryce Harper, red auto, just sitting right here. We'll go ahead and just send it to you. Well, why wasn't that in the product?
Right.
That would be a major, major red flag and major that would be a huge concern. I don't know. I mean, at least they're trying something. They're trying to help them out. But again, why can't they make the card? What is the issue? What's the problem? Why do redemptions expire?
Yeah.
What's the point of that? Why don't they just tell you, look, we're waiting for this guy to sign. We're actively trying. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. But if you want to hold on to it, we'll honor it.
Yeah.
Why don't they say something like that? I mean, I know that I know you're probably going to have to wait, but at least they tell you that they're going to make it happen at some point.
Yeah.
I just don't understand, like, better figure something out, because once your redemption expires, then you're SOL. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a tough. It's a tough thing. I mean, I guess they did offer him something. It may have been a deal where they, I mean, you never know behind the scenes to give them some kind of credit. It may have been a deal where it was, you know, Bryce Harper on the card, and Bryce Harper was like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sign. I'm popular now. I'm an all-star. You know, my team's making it to the playoffs, and, you know, I'm going to be an MVP someday. I'm not going to – you're not going to be able to pay me $50 now. I want $150. And so they're like, well, okay, well, we're not going to sign.
Pay him $100. Pay him $150.
Well, yeah,
Get the card made. But
yeah,
I mean, get the card made. Like, if you're gonna put the card in the set, and you're gonna tell the collector that card's gonna be in there, and then now you can't get the guy to sign and say it's based on money, and he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not signing for this much. Pay him whatever you need to pay him because you already put the card in there. You've already had a lot of customers buy products to get that card as one of the chase cards, and now you're just saying, well, it's not really in our budget. Sorry. Well, if it wasn't in your budget, don't put the card in there.
I agree, and I wouldn't run my business that way either. If I promise somebody something I mean, that'd be like, okay, guys, we sold out this break, but, you know, we're not going to be able to do it for 3 weeks. It's not in the budget. You know, and people wouldn't fly. So I wouldn't conduct my business that way, but, you know, that seems like it's kind of the norm with those guys.
I mean, you have a customer there, and, I mean, say, we don't know if it was, like, the issue was with Bryce Harper, but say Bryce Harper's like, well, I'll be in Washington for 2 more days. If you want to send somebody down here, and I'll sit here and sign a card for $300 a piece, if you want to do that, I have time. Get somebody on an airplane and fly them over there. Get them to sign the cards and come back because you've already made your money on the product.
Yes.
Giving your customers and collectors an empty promise is not acceptable.
Yeah, but they know that people are still going to buy. That's the problem. We're not going to ever change it. And 2013 is going to be an amazing year for cards, and it's not going to change. So,
I mean,
we'll see.
2014.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. 2004 is going to be an amazing year. 2004. Great stuff. well, let's get into some quick reviews. God, I feel like we're just bashing on Topps, but I want to start off with the worst one. 2013 Topps Magic Football. We got lucky. I mean, you would think you would expect a glaring review from me because we pulled a 5 of 5 Peyton Manning and a RG3 auto out of a case. No, it was just a god-awful just collection of autos. And I know it's a lower end, so it's mainly the chase of the base, maybe. That's what they're going for. But the guys they put in there as autographs, they should, like, literally be ashamed of themselves. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, guys that were just undrafted, redemptions of Ryan Swope, guys that it just was crazy. I don't know what their thought process was on it. They didn't change from last year. They had the same insert sets. They had a few new ones. They used the same minis, the same enchantment designs, the same looking design on the card. I don't get it. I don't get why they came out with it. And there was just the sell sheet was like, ooh, Barry Sanders, Bo Jackson, Peyton Manning, John Elway, rookie premier guys. And you get none of them in the case. Nobody's case that I watched had anything. There were just nobodies in there. It was like guys that were signing for like $1. And it was like 50 cents or for free, maybe. They were paying them to sign. I don't know. It was bad. And I don't know what they were thinking with that. I don't know why it was needed. Take the few Barry Sanders autos that you threw in there and put it in something else. The John Elways that you used, put it in something else. Don't frickin' sugarcoat dog crap. Like, it was just bad. Topps tragic. 2013 Topps tragic football. That's what it was. And I could say that because I don't have any boxes of it anymore. So, I mean,
That was pretty heartfelt, man. That was, I like
that was
it.
My rant.
I like
right
it.
There.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I just, I don't know how they could all sit around. I mean, I don't know how many people are involved in designing a product, but I don't know how they can sit there and look at that and go, yep, this is a go. It's a good product. Like, no. It's a turd. Crap. Stop making it. Stop making crap. No one wants crap anymore. So they've done well with football, though. They actually surprisingly did well at the end of the year. 2013 Triple Threads was good. It was a great product. Finest was good. There was a few of their other releases that I can't think of right now that were good. It was good. Good. They did well. I think they beat Panini this year. But then they had the lead. They were like a horse coming around the turn. And then they put out Topps Tragic. And the horse had to stop and take a dump. And it lost. Because they put out this product. So, and Panini Black came out last week. That was a good product. I like Panini Black. Panini Black football was a good product. Good design. On-card autos. A little bit of vets that they needed. Shadow Box. They tried something new. Props to Panini on 2013 Panini Black football. That was a good product. What did you think of it, Dan?
I thought it was good. Do I get to do a review for Magic or?
Yeah, yeah, Magic. I'm just hitting them all up. I'm hitting them all up right now.
Okay.
Go ahead and tell
Magic
us about Magic.
Magic was the worst product ever made.
Yes.
Bold statement, but true. Sorry. I don't know how many football products we've opened up, and we've seen everybody. We've seen every name. There was guys in this product that I've never heard of. I'm pretty sure those people do not play football. They were just making up names at this point, photoshopping a guy on a card, putting him in a jersey. Some guys, I don't even know if they had jerseys. Some guys, they were still using pictures from training camp.
Yes.
It was awful. I mean, it was awful.
Not to cut you off, I just had to look up some of these guys. There's a DJ Harper, right? And he's a running back for the 49ers, okay? I'm a 49er fan. I don't know who he is. And I know that the Niners have Gore, James, Kendall Hunter, and Lattimore. So is there even room on the roster for this? This guy still on the team?
You forgot Anthony Dixon.
And Anthony, yeah, that's five. So are they carrying six guys? No.
No, that guy doesn't play football.
He does. He's playing for Toronto Argonauts or something. I mean, why put him in the product? You know, it's just ridiculous.
I that product was so bad that when I would get an auto of a guy I had seen in previous products, I would get excited.
Yes.
I'd be like, I've heard of that guy. That's Darius Slay. I've heard of him. Probably didn't make the team, but at least he's been in products before. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah,
this is
really
negative. This is really negative. Feels good to let this out.
I've been holding it in, man. I've been wanting to slap somebody because of Topps Magic. I've literally been going down the street. Anybody that has anything to do with Magic on their T-shirt or their hat, I just want to slap them. And so I'm glad I'm venting now. So. Put some baby powder on in my hand, slap them. No. But, you know, it is what it is. You know,
No, you can't even use that phrase, it is what it is. It's bad. It's bad.
But, you know, this is an ADD hobby, and the next week Panini Black came out, and, you know, most of us forgot about Magic already. So that's good, because Panini Black was good. And Series 1 came out, which I actually liked. You know, Series 1, I'm not that type of collector. I don't collect base sets and stuff. But I actually liked what Topps did with Series 1. Maybe that's why Tragic was bad, was the fact that they were spending all their money on Topps Series 1 baseball. Good. Because Topps Series 1 baseball was good. I liked it. The insert sets, the buybacks were kind of cool. I know they were in bad shape, but it was kind of cool. The manufactured rings were cool. The auto design was cool. Some of the chase elements were cool. I liked it. I think they did a good job with it.
Getting back, I know we're beating a dead horse here. Getting back to Magic, our expectations were so low for Magic, and they still didn't even deliver to our low expectations.
Yes. Yeah, we were expecting,
I was still
Deion's
insulted.
Them.
I was still like...
Yeah. Deion Sims, maybe like Matt Barkley. We're going to get a good amount of those. Gio Bernard or something, you know. I don't expect to get a Lacy. I don't expect to get these guys. But there was literally like only two or three rookie premier autos out of 36.
So here is, and I don't know what their thought process was. They paid these guys 20 cents an auto. And probably Topps is probably sitting around a table right now going, the most money we made on any release this year, Topps Magic. they're probably running around Topps is going, that was giving each other high fives. Like we really did something great there.
Came up.
But you're looking at like what? Maybe an $800 case, $900 case wholesale, and you were getting 36 autos. You were lucky to be able to sell your autos for $70.
Yeah, we got the Peyton Manning, and that's probably was a $250 card. So we probably, in our case, we probably got $300. Because
Peyton Manning and an RG3. We have the greatest case ever.
Yes.
So that's not a good sign when you're like, we had the greatest case ever, but it's the worst product ever. Well, a lot of
and numbers. We pulled a 101 Gio Bernard in the All Access, and we're still ripping on this product. So that just goes to show you can't schmooze me over by the occasional nice hit Topps. You can't win me over Topps.
can't do it.
Can't win with it.
Can't do it. Panini Black was great. I thought the design was similar to last year. It was pretty dead on. And last year, I loved the look. I don't know if they keep the Captain C parallel.
They did not. No, they did not.
That's kind of a downer. I liked that idea. I know it's just a parallel card number to like 350, but it was a cool little subset.
They actually should use the, I don't know how much it would cost to, but that's one thing you haven't seen in cards is the actual captains, like the real one in a card. That would be a ridiculous card.
I'm surprised they haven't used it.
I am too. Those jerseys there's only what, two guys on each team, so it's going to be hard to get.
I thought there was three or four. I think you got one on offense, one on defense, and one on special teams.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So three. Yeah. What did Ryan? What did you think of Series One? Did you see? Were you compiling any of the data for Series One for Topps Baseball?
It's generally just pretty crappy. It's going to be $25 a box here and in, 6-8 months, like all the other products. They put a lot of short print cards. I think some of the cards that people like, the Strata autographs, which are basically impossible to get, but they're selling for a couple $100 on David Wright, a couple hundred, Pedroia, a couple hundred, Buster Posey, about, $150, $200. So, and I think the Boston Red Sox championship autographs that they've done for many years now with all the teams, I think those look pretty nice. And they even added like a postseason performance relics kind of thing. So I shouldn't even be giving my thoughts on this because I haven't even bought a pack. And I think what I've learned over, in the hobby the last couple of weeks is that you can't actually complain about cards unless you tweet receipts or have some kind of website where you're proving that you're buying this stuff. It seems like, if you're not known as a big, big hustler buyer of sports cards, you don't have any right to complain. It's too bad you group breakers, you guys are so busy kind of doing things and there's a lot of things involved with that. You guys could probably be the captain complainers because you're buying so much product and you're opening. Chris from Cards Infinity, what did he say about Topps? Mediocre. So yes. There's a guy who who opens God knows how many boxes in a month or year or what, since 2007, since he's been doing this. We're talking about tens of thousands of boxes for customers, and he says Topps is mediocre. So that's who I'm going to listen to. If he says their products are mediocre, their business is mediocre, I'm going to listen to him. And, you know, what you guys are saying about some of the other products that have come out recently. So I'll cater to you guys. But just from what I've seen, yeah, if you want to gamble, you want to pay $1.99, why not? I mean, it's cheap. But, you know, you get a couple cards and see what happens. But if you're, you know, trying to hit a big hit or, you know, really come up, put some cards on eBay or something, you're better off going some other direction. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I guess you sit there and I don't like to be a negative Nancy. I mean, maybe I'm a victim of circumstance. Believe me, I don't go home and complain all day. Some of you guys may think that, but I don't. I just, you know, I'd like to see changes. When you see this stuff as much as we do, you just hope that they would, you know, take interest in changing some things. And I'm not saying all things are bad, because there's still collectability. There's, believe me, there's still this hobby is still this hobby, and the people still love it, and people still they don't care. I mean, they don't care what Topps does. There's still going to be the Chris Bryants that come out. It doesn't matter what they do. People are still going to buy Chris Bryants if they're Cubs collectors or they're prospectors. People are still going to buy Russell Wilson regardless of the company behind it. It doesn't really matter, but it's just, you know, we just want things to change for the better in terms of value, in terms of certain things that we talk about here. So, but, you know, when it comes to Topps Series 1, I liked it. The jumbo break that we did, I mean, it was your typical jersey manufactured card in an auto, you know, and SPs here and there. But, it's the flagship. It gets a lot of people going back into hobby stores, and it kind of kicks off the year for baseball and gets people kind of excited for spring training and their team, you know, possibly making the playoffs this year. What guys do we got? You know, people start going on Baseball America and looking at the prospect handbook and stuff. It's kind of like the event that kind of triggers everything. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. Football just ended, so it's all about baseball and basketball right now. And you know, it's crazy. Stuff's crazy. And Series 1 kind of kicks off the craziness.
It's cray.
It's cray.
Cray.
We did bust the box of Five Star Racing, and that was the first racing product that we've ever done. And actually, it was pretty nice. I mean, it's a high price point, but you know, they only had the marquee names in there, and it was four hits plus a low numbered base card per box. It's about a $500 retail box, but you're guaranteed a book card. And racing's kind of like one of those things. It's kind of similar to hockey when it comes to memorabilia. I thought it was really cool. You know, they had tire pieces and pieces of the hood of the car that the guys drove, and their fire suit, which had, you know, multicolored patches and stuff like that. There was a lot of things they could do with racing. It was all on card auto, and it was actually called Five Star, and it's made by Press Pass. I guess you can't, you know, own the rights to a word, so they were able to say it was Five Star. And we only did one box, but I thought it was really cool. I really liked the technology, and it was a fun product. I mean, I have limited racing knowledge, but I know who Jimmy Johnson is, and I know who Earnhardt is, and I know who Danica Patrick is, and those names were in there, and it was kind of a fun break. So props to Press Pass. That was the first Press Pass break we ever did, and people seemed to like it. We did a hit draft for, I think it was 130th spot, and everybody got something, and it was a fun little product.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
So, and actually, we need to give something away. I want to give away a $35 gift certificate. What I want you guys to do is actually go on cardsinfinity.com, since he was on the show. I want you guys to go onto his site and tell me what box is featured first on his webpage, cardsinfinity.com. Call in. Let me give you guys the number. Call in. You're going to win a $35 gift card. I was going to give away a hockey spot, but they delayed that, so can't give that away. So I'll give you guys a gift card. 347-855-8815 is the number. 347-855-8815. Go on cardsaffinity.com and see what hobby box is posted first, and you'll win a $35 gift card at mojobreak.com to spend on whatever you'd like. Either it be a personal box, break, whatever. We actually got some golf. Got some SP Authentic golf in the shop now. If you want to break some golf tomorrow, we can do that for you. Got breaks of 2013 black, and it looks like we got a winner. 305, what's going on?
Not much. Sorry about the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl.
Ah, it's all right. It's all right.
Oh, don't be sorry about it. The good guys won. It's cool.
not the Rams, in other words?
The Rams, obviously. You got to be a good team to get to the Super Bowl. Probably not going to happen
to
those guys for a while.
The Rams will be moving back closer to you soon, team.
I know. What's up with that? We didn't even talk about that. Got the Rams are going to be – oh, no. No, people care. I care.
They should have just done it right and put it at Hollywood Park now that – make those guys a partner in the whole situation.
Yeah, right there in Inglewood. We were actually – I've been there before. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Inglewood.
So did you go on?
Yeah. Panini Black Football.
Yep, that's it. $35. What did you think of what did you think of Chris, man? I thought it was a good guy's got a lot of insight.
Awesome. I keep hearing how Series 1 is going to be $25 or something in 6 months, but I'm not seeing it. I would gladly buy a couple boxes of last year's product for that.
I'll bet a box that right after the Power Player code ends, that if it's not $29 or $30, that I'll buy you a box.
Sweet.
Deal. We'll keep up on it.
Why are last year's box is still in the $40 range, though?
The Series 1?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we're comparing wholesale to retail or something.
I'm looking wholesale. I don't care what Blowout's selling for. I'm looking wholesale. I could care less what Blowout's selling it for.
Okay.
Hold on.
Then we'll talk privately.
We will, and we'll get you that. I'll get you that gift card in a timely manner this time. And you know, thanks for supporting us as always, Trevor. We appreciate it, man. And always, and you're one of the advocates of spreading the word for our show, and we appreciate that more than you know.
It's not been so effective so far, but we'll keep trying.
Yeah, we will. We'll keep it going. Thanks, man. Have a good night. Yeah, man. So there you go. Another winner here. You guys are just letting Trevor win. Every time. Somebody else did call in, but Trevor was quicker. So 805, I think, called in. So sorry, 805. You're just a little slower than Trevor on that one, or else we would have given it to you. But we do this every week. So I think that's all I got for today, man. I don't got anything else to talk about unless you want to talk about something else. I mean, I think that's it.
I feel like a traitor. Like, going down and checking out some Niners season tickets tomorrow, it's like being a Giants fan and going to Dodger Stadium and buying season tickets.
Yeah,
it's a little dirty.
It's money. It's easy money.
It's a little dirty.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we'll keep you clued in. Me, Dan, my father, and one of my other friends is going to go down tomorrow to the new 49er Stadium and possibly buy season tickets. It's actually a pretty good deal. $100 a seat, and then you got to buy a license. It's $5,000 per ticket, but it's spread out over 9 years. So we'll go to a few games and sell the rest. And I don't know, maybe if you're in the Bay Area, we'll give away some tickets once.
I'm gonna have to go out and buy all 31 jerseys, just so whoever the Niners play, I can represent the other team. If I do go, you're like, today, I'm a fan.
That's so funny.
Today,
last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
It led me into that one. I didn't have to leave myself in. So, well, that's we'll let you guys know if you guys are watching our feed. We'll let you know if we had a successful season ticket buying purchase. It's gonna kind of tap me. I might have to eat ramen after making that purchase, but you know what? It's all for the sport, right? That's why we do this. And
it's only ten games, right?
Yeah, eight, and then the two preseason. Yeah.
So.
We gotta find out parking passes tomorrow. I want to check for that, and Ryan's interested in find out what they do for the parking passes. So we'll check on that.
That's
tomorrow.
Where the real money is. That is where that's easy money. If you could get a whole $75 a game, like if they charged you $750, Hall, just snap that up, because that's $150-$200 game. Easy, because parking is going to be premium down there. Like,
y'all, could I buy 30 parking passes?
Yeah, exactly. Boom, I'll buy 15 of them.
That's the right kind. You talk about low maintenance. Let's buy parking lot space, man.
Let's buy a lot. Let's try to find a vacant thing. I'll go in with you guys. We'll try to find some a building we can just blow up or something. Literally, that's gonna be just cash money in the bank every time there's a game. I don't know what we're gonna do with it when there's not a game, but we'll have to set up a lemonade stand or a baseball card. We'll have a little 5-table baseball card show there every day until the Niners play.
Nice.
Yeah, parking lots are where it's at. That is a good, sound investment. You don't see too many parking lots going out of business.
No, not at all. Never.
Sorry, parking lots closed. I can't keep the lights on. Well, there is no light, but yeah,
oh,
I mean, that's a good investment. I mean, you can probably buy a parking pass for every season ticket that you purchase.
Yeah, probably.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know parking's going to be $7,500. They don't really want anybody parking there.
No, they don't. They want everybody. They want people to take
public transit into that place. So, parking is going to be a premium.
Definitely. Well, we'll definitely find out about that.
And it's not like baseball games. It's not. Not a huge tailgating sport, but football is all about tailgating.
Definitely.
Part of the experience, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, so we'll find that out tomorrow. We'll report back next week. I'm trying to get Brian Gray on the show, working out, trying to get him on, so look forward to that in the future. And also talking to My STL Sports Cards, who does hockey breaks. He does other sports too, but really good hockey breaks. I want to get him on to talk a little bit about hockey, because we know nothing about hockey. So look for that stuff in the upcoming weeks. Sportsradio.com. I haven't played this in a little while, so before we play the outro, I'm going to play a little DJ Cool for you guys.
Let me clear my throat. This is the legendary DJ Cool. Big shout out to everybody representing MojoBreak.com. That's right. Look them up on the internet, man. MojoBreak.com.
Yeah, so look us up on the internet. So MojoBreak.com and SportsCardRadio.com. And we'll see you guys next week, same time, hopefully with a guest as well. And that's it, man. So you guys take care and have a good night.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live. Sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.